Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. The top 10 odd things found inside of patients.
That's odd.
Gotta kind of think about this.
Right, think about it.
Possibly use code or whatever.
Right.
Dr. Ron Clark is doing the list, and you're calling in your guesses at 203-882-9757. Paul Ingford.
Morning, guys.
Hey, morning.
I'm going to say batteries.
Batteries is on the list. It is number 7 on my list. We get a lot of batteries, believe it or not, that come into the ER. All types, Ds, As, double As. So it is on the list. You are correct.
Copper tops.
Is it people low on energy?
All right. You got to charge of it. Hey-o!
Thanks, just man. Feeling a little bored.
All right. Thank you.
Kids swallow the watch batteries a lot.
Have you ever had a patient come in with triple A's, and then like a couple years later, it's like the same patient, but now it's D's?
They change sometimes. That does happen sometimes, Chaz. And yeah, AJ brought up the watch batteries. So the watch batteries, those lithium batteries, are a problem. The circular batteries, if they get wedged places. So like if it gets stuck in somebody's esophagus, if they swallow it for some reason, sometimes kids, sometimes adults, then they have to go right to endoscopy, and we got to pull that out because it can cause a perforation in the esophagus or in the stomach or in the intestine.
The people, the D batteries, you just kind of smack them on top of the head to get them out. Like a flashlight.
That usually does not work, AJ.
Try it sometime. Make a video.
Brain.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Morning, Doc.
Hey.
Morning.
Sex toys in the anal cavity.
So that is
a bad children's book.
it usually is, but there are multiple sex toys that come into the ER, all types, things I'm aware of, and I always get a couple of surprises too as well. Although we did have an interesting one recently with a rawhide dog bone, which was a major issue because it broke off. Like not the little milk bone one. I'm talking the rawhide.
Yeah,
one.
Rawhides with big dogs.
The solid. I mean, it's for big dogs.
Yeah.
And that actually, when I called the surgeon in to help me with that one, initially she didn't believe me. She's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "It broke off." He's like, "Well, why was it up there?" I said, "Well, that's another story. I'm just telling you, we got to go get it."
Now that you call it, you go, "Come here. Come here.
If
take
I
a look.
That's
come take a look.
She would kill me. I would be the ER patient."
Come take a look. Come
thank you,
look.
Brain.
Look.
Dr. Ron Clark is on Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. And we're talking about the top 10 odd things found inside patients. So sex toys wouldn't be odd, right?
Right. That's a pretty common one that comes in.
Yeah. But again, it's like, where are they supposed to be?
Right.
Trust me, depending on the shape, sometimes, Chaz, though, they can be pretty odd.
But the rawhide bone, definitely wrong usage.
Yeah. Right.
The rawhide was an interesting one.
And their hide was pretty, too.
Yeah.
Charles in college.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My guess is going to be on the simpler side. I'm going to go with coins.
Coins.
Right. Coins list. You are correct. That was my number 8 on the list. We've had all kinds. We have a couple repeat offenders that come in multiple times with swallowing coins. Everything. Quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies, everything. And again, sometimes those patients will pass the coins, like you just let them defecate them out. And sometimes if they get stacked up, they can cause either obstruction, called a gastric outlet obstruction, a stomach obstruction, or if they stack up in the intestine, a bowel obstruction. And then we have to do some more interventions to get them out. So depending on where they get stuck depends on if they're able to take care of the problem themselves or if I have to go in and do something.
They know why it's happening. They're going through a change.
Wow.
That was witty.
So far, we got batteries at number 7, coins at number 8. Did I miss one, or is that it?
I just brought up the rawhide one at number 6.
That was under, the adult toys /
yep.
Dog bone.
Got it.
Could be a toy. Could be a toy.
Yeah.
Harold and Waterbury.
Good morning.
Hey.
How about surgical instruments from previous procedures?
So that is not on my list, but it is definitely an issue, particularly scissors. Scissors is a big one that scissors and sponges are the two things that we sometimes see in the ER, and sometimes it'll be somebody that's had surgery, you know, a year or two before, and then all of a sudden was complaining of, you know, chronic abdominal pain, and somebody ends up doing an X-ray or a CAT scan and can pick up different things that were left in after procedures. With any procedure, you're supposed to do counts, like sponge counts, we call them, and instrument counts and different things. But sometimes things can get missed and things can get left in there, which cause major issues.
Right.
It's not on my list, but it is a good guess.
Thank you, Harold.
The surgeon's key fob for his Audi. You press over here.
So, right, this is odd things. Medical items would not be odd.
As odd, no.
Exactly. Yeah. As odd, exactly. And unfortunately, they're not common, but they happen, you know, sometimes that we see things. And it wouldn't, you know, again, it can happen, and some people can have pain for a long time before the diagnosis gets made. But, yeah, no, scissors, sponges are definitely things that sometimes happen during medical procedures, especially just imagine, like, you know, a surgeon cutting into somebody's abdomen and all of a sudden start bleeding because something was either cut or something was abnormal in there that started bleeding, and now all of a sudden you can't see the surgical field. So you're just packing sponges in there to try to get the bleeding stopped so they can tie things off. And, again, sometimes things can get left inside there.
Oh, man. Just the visualization of that, it's like, man, that is not a day I want to have at work.
No.
That's a tough day, and that's why I give, you know, our trauma surgeons, we have excellent trauma surgeons at the Hospital of Central Connecticut and our general surgeons. It's a tough job to do those things because, again, when things are easy and controlled, that's fine, but occasionally things get out of control and you get into something you weren't expecting, and particularly bleeding when you don't see the source is one of the most stressful things you could do as a doctor. Sometimes I had somebody with a hand injury recently that came in wrapped, and the EMS had told me, you know, doc, just be careful when you take this off. This thing was like spurting like a fire hose, and sure enough, they had cut right at their wrist, their radial artery. So it was clamped down, but when I let it go, it was literally spurting like a fire hose.
Looked like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
It was like a Saturday Night Live sketch, exactly. You know, so then all of a sudden you're trying to put control on it to try to just you know, get control of the bleed, and sometimes we have to tie things off just to get them to stop bleeding and then fix them, you know, in the OR.
Just let it run out.
Yeah. Rich and Ansonia.
Hi, morning, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
I would say a toy car.
Toy car is not on the
list. From the Jackass movie.
That's one like a Matchbox car kind of thing.
Yep.
That you know, I have not seen it personally. We did actually have a cigar tube though, which I thought was interesting.
The cigar tube
was in there. Yeah, that was an interesting one. The person did not want to say what was in there. And
a note.
It was smuggling.
Don't read the note.
It was smuggling. There, so it's
oh, were they smuggling?
I say nope. They were smoking a cigar and had the tube left afterwards, but we found it on the X-ray, and initially
couldn't find sure a trash
exactly
can.
What it
it's
was.
A Camarillo.
So I'm pretty sure they asked for it back then.
Yeah.
Right. Found a cigar-looking object.
Yeah.
Initially, the only reason why I picked the car. Reason why I picked the car is because if one jackass would do it, I'm sure there's plenty of other jackasses out there.
Yeah,
do it.
That was one of my favorite scenes in that movie.
I just thought
it was hysterical.
No, there's people that copy stuff too, absolutely.
Tom in Middletown.
Hi, Dr. Clark. This is Jeanette's dad again.
Hey, how are you?
Who is it?
Good. Jeanette's my daughter. She works
here. Yeah.
Oh,
great. Jeanette's one of my nurses in the ER.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. How about a golf ball?
Golf ball is not on the list, but we did have a dumbbell, like a dumbbell weight, like the small dumbbells
the
that went
ones.
Up there. I'm not exactly sure how the person got it up there, but
a dumbbell.
They're working the muscle out.
Yeah, exactly.
A 1 pounder?
Like a 1 pounder. I think it was like a smaller 1 pounder, but it was in there.
Wow.
I mean, these are impressive sometimes, Chaz, the things that people can get in there. Remember, that area does stretch. It doesn't stretch unlimited, but it can stretch.
Over time, it gets larger and larger.
They're trying to strengthen that sphincter.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, Tom, thank your daughter for being a nurse.
She's a wonderful nurse. Jeanette's one of my best nurses. She's wonderful.
Nurse, take this.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
No, thank you, Tom.
Nurse. Yep, and we appreciate everything the nurses do.
Of course.
Because that is a tough job.
Have you ever asked?
Yeah, why is this up here?
Like,
are you allowed to?
Or,
oh yeah, I'll ask what were you doing when this happened, and you know that kind of thing. And you know, most of the time they say, "Hey, doc, it got away from me," and just like a generic kind of.
I would just say
like
how.
You know, sometimes, believe it or not, I've been told. You know, I mean, I've been doing this a long time, more than 20 years in the ER, but sometimes they'll say I fell on it,
right?
Which like you know.
Lucky but, shot.
Yeah, we know.
You know, lucky shot.
I'm a doc. I'm a relatively smart guy, and I'm not going to buy that. It's just like, you know, I fell on it. But they often say that. And again, usually these people come in with chief complaint private. So usually I can see it's chest pain, it's abdominal pain, it's cough, it's shortness of breath. If you have a chief complaint in the ER on our tracker where we can see all the patients of private, I know it's somewhere where it shouldn't be.
Gotcha. And I think that's a good answer. It got away from me.
Yeah.
You know what happened. I put it in there. I didn't mean it to get away from me, but it got away from me.
It's very elusive.
It got away from
me. Elusive.
Beef man.
Good morning, all.
Hey.
Good morning.
How about nails? A lot of carpenters put nails in their mouths when they're working.
So that's a good thought. It's not on my list, but that does happen. Nails that get swallowed. And I actually had a Christmas tree ornament one time. A candy cane ornament that was swallowed accidentally. Somebody put it in their mouth while they were putting like the top of the star on the tree and swallowed it as well. But nails do come in. I've actually had multiple people with nails that come in. So that's a good guess. I didn't put it on the list today, but nails is definitely a good guess because that does happen. They put them in their mouths before you know the carpenters do, and then like someone will talk to them or they'll move or they'll like miss a step on a ladder or something and then like swallow it. So it's a good guess.
I would freak.
Scary.
Thank you, Beef Man. Alan Shelton.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
How about a whistle?
A whistle is not on my list, but that's a good guess as well.
My uncle actually swallowed one, you know, one of them old paper toys at a birthday party where you blow it.
Little plastic ones, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that end.
Yeah. It was a good warning for everybody else, though.
Yeah. It is not on my list. We did have an interesting thing with different kinds of utensils that are on my list, things like spoons, forks, and knives, not on the same person, but we've actually had all three. I've had a spoon and a fork on two different people, and one of my partners had a butter knife. So we do have the whole set, AJ, if you need it, for, you know, utensils there.
Every time my uncle farted, his hair blew forward.
Hey, Grandpa's here. And he's a baritone.
Thank you, Al.
There's something wrong with
this. This list is something else.
This is fun.
I feel like we have to do three breaks on this.
Yes, we must. We must.
Louie and Milford.
Yeah, good morning. My wife works in the ER. She told me a person came in one time with a flashlight, like a mag light, stuck in their rectum.
Oh. Yep. That is not on my list, but that is actually a good one because that does happen sometimes. The mag lights get shoved up there. You know, lots of different objects can be put up there.
And you can't sleep with lights on.
Yeah.
All kinds of things, yeah.
I can't sleep with the light on. Do you do, like, bunny animals and stuff like that? Like,
yeah.
Shadow animals?
We did actually have a shampoo bottle that was put up there.
Oh.
I thought that was an interesting one.
That was
suave. That is on your list,
that
right?
That was suave.
Number two?
Was number two on the list, yep.
Yep. Was it organic?
And that one is typically, they say, I fell on it in the
shower.
Yeah, they fell on it. Doc, I fell on it.
Right.
I was in the shower, fell on the bottle. Just, you know, happens sometimes, Doc, you know.
Right. Right. Get more body and wave, though.
I was actually amazed. So I was sitting with another couple doctors in the ER when we were talking about doing the list and just kind of getting ideas from other people, too. People were going back and forth for like a couple rounds of this. Like, it was amazing how many things just over the years have come through. We get, I mean, these odd kind of foreign body things are more often happen than you think. They're just like, we just kept coming up with things. It was amazing.
Do you have time to do a third break with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Excellent.
So far we got shampoo bottle, rawhide dog bone, batteries, coins and a dumbbell.
Hmm. An odd scavenger hunt.
And the cigar tube and the spoon, fork, and knife.
Right.
Let's talk to Pat Rocco. Hey, Pat.
Hey, good morning.
Hey. Morning.
I'm actually a colleague of Ron's. He was my medical student way back when.
Wow.
What?
I was. This is Dr. Rocco on the phone. He is a general surgeon.
Wow.
Dr. Rocco.
You work on generals? Cool.
The original Doc Rock.
Yeah. General and do some thoracic. But in any event, I don't know if Ron was involved with this or not, but we were called about a patient that had a foreign body in his abdominal cavity. In other words, it had perforated his colon and was loose in his abdomen.
Oh.
And this lasted for about 2 days. Patient kept thinking he was going to poop it out. And when he comes in, he's very sick, very septic. Obviously, you know, you're not supposed to have a hole in your colon. And the X-ray and the CAT scan showed this. I don't know the polite way to say dildo. Is that a...
Yeah. Sex toy? Sex toy works.
Sex toy.
Yes.
Yeah. It was shaped like a rocket. This thing was like a rocket. It was up by his liver.
No.
And, you know, it was loose. So we had to rush him to the OR after, you know, resuscitating him. And when he was asleep and we're prepping the abdomen, it was still vibrating.
No.
The batteries are still alive.
That's some good batteries.
In any event.
Right. That's why it's chattering.
So, unfortunately, because there was so much contamination and peritonitis and stuff, we were not able to repair it. We had to resect the hole in the bowel and give him a colostomy, a bag, temporary.
Oh.
So this patient, he survives this surgery. He was very sick, spent a week and a half in the ICU, eventually went home. And a few months go by, and, you know, I would see him in the office, and I said, listen, you know, it's time, you know, we should get rid of this colostomy. You know, you're ready to have it reversed. And I quote, absolutely not. This is great. I love this now. I don't have to bend over. I don't have to use a mirror. So this guy is walking around with a colostomy for self-enjoyment, I guess.
Use a mirror?
No, before.
I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's a little out of my league, but each his own, right?
Okay.
I'm sticking with the bag, Doc.
All right.
Sticking with the bag.
It's your bag. Go for it.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Hey, Pat. Thanks for calling in.
Ron's like, get out of here, Pat.
I like hearing doctors refer to each other by first name and not doctor.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Dr. Rocco, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Rocco's an excellent surgeon.
Wow, that is some story.
Damn.
So he does a lot of big time stuff. Like he does general surgery, which means he does a little bit of everything, whatever comes in. He's also a thoracic surgeon, so he does a lot of chest stuff that can get very complicated.
Oh, okay, thoracic. Oh. This is Jurassic.
He is a very smart cookie.
Cool.
Wow. And he's still practicing?
Yes.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Gotta know by now.
I was his first medical student. He had just finished at, I believe, Waterbury Hospital, and then he was an attending, and I was a medical student at UConn, and I was his first student, actually, way back.
Wow, he must be very proud of...
25 years ago, I didn't realize he listens to the show, Chad, but I guess he does.
Yeah,
he must be very proud of you.
Yeah.
We all go through, and, you know, in medicine, it's always see one, do one, and teach one is kind of the motto. So he was the one who I would see do something, and, you know, you see one, you do one, and you teach one, and he was on the teaching side when I was still on the seeing side, and now I'm on the teaching side. So in a whole nother generation of students in Connecticut, people don't realize that the, you know, medical students, nursing students, PA students that come through the ER, all of them get a good eye-opening experience coming into the ER, because most of them, particularly students, have never seen any of this stuff. And again, just over time, the experience is how you get to be a good medical provider in whatever field that you're in. So yeah, no, it's a neat profession to be in.
All right, and we're going to wrap it up now. So let's hear what we have on this list.
Sure. So the ones that we don't have yet, or there was a lot of vegetables and fruits. So I did them as two different things. Vegetables like cucumbers, eggplants, and carrots, and then fruits, bananas, apples, pear. I actually had a pear a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Like a hard pear. And then the number one, and was a wine bottle that was on the list, and I'm reminded of a few years ago where AJ said to not smell the cork.
Yes.
That was a very important public service announcement that came through on the list. So that was my number one on the list. Still to this day, there's wine bottles that come in, actually, fairly, you know, the small wine bottles.
Good vintage?
They come in fairly often. Just their shape, I think, is entices people to give it a shot. So right.
Plus, you're hammering a wine, so yeah. There you go.
Exactly. You're a little loosened up, so, you know, a little disinhibited, so it's time to give it a go.
Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine at the Hospital Central Connecticut New Britain General Campus, also author of Surviving the Emergency Room, and your brother's a recording artist, correct?
Correct, he is. Yep.
And do we want? Is there a website we can find his music on?
Yeah, the PaulClarkProject.com.
Awesome.
Cool.
Doc, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys, and you guys have a wonderful day.
You too.
Careful.
I never pronounced this guy's name correctly.
All right.
Johan van der Sloot.
Okay.
I think I'm close.
That works for me.
Johan van der Sloot.
Johan van der Sloot.
Remember Natalie Holloway?
Yeah.
She went on like a college, you know, whatever, spring break to Aruba and then disappeared. And it was this whole thing. And then
years
you know,
of looking for her.
They never found her body.
Yeah.
This guy has always been a suspect. Then he was arrested for killing somebody else on the same day, like 5 years to the day, he murdered his girlfriend.
Jesus.
This guy's a total dirtbag.
Yeah, why are you wasting things on him?
He finally admitted. And so he's serving a sentence in wherever it is, Peru.
South America, yeah.
In Peru. Also simultaneously serving his sentence for killing Natalie Holloway. But he showed up in court, like, smiling. Like, you just want to...
He's a slug!
So, apparently, he's having sex with three different women in prison.
Of course he is.
He was approved for conjugal visits by Peru's National Penitentiary Institute. He has the same rights as any other prisoner. The news comes as no surprise to people who know the 36-year-old. A friend of his said, quote, he's a player. He's always been a player as a childhood friend. Women have always been attracted to him for some reason, end quote.
Goofy looking dude. He's got a long, long head.
I didn't notice.
He's Ike and Mike Candies. Paint a face, put ears on Ike and Mike Candy.
After escaping authorities, investigating Holloway's death in the Netherlands territory in the U.S., van der Sloot ended up in Peru, where he was eventually convicted of killing his then-girlfriend, business student Stephanie Flores Ramirez, in 2012 and sentenced to 28 years. Chillingly, she died 5 years to the day of Holloway's death.
There's no need for this guy to be breathing.
No, I agree.
He needs to go.
And then now he's having sex with all these women in prison.
Right.
Under Peruvian law, prisoners are allowed private visits to have sex with partners from the outside. Visitors are allowed to spend up to 2 hours in a private setting with inmates at a time, and according to authorities, van der Sloot has listed three different women on his most recent application. So he has a girlfriend, and this girlfriend actually got arrested smuggling drugs in for him when he first went in.
Right.
And instead of her doing the time, he did extra time.
So they're having sex with him.
This is kind of like, what movie was it where they, Goodfellas.
Okay.
Where she could see, Karen could see the list. It's like, wait, she's here?
Yeah, exactly.
So I wonder how this is going to play out for him.
He's be like the Vander Sluts.
Over the years at two different facilities, seven different women have been approved for conjugal visits with van der Sloot, including his ex-wife.
I don't get it.
Who got pregnant while he was behind bars. Their daughter was born in 2014.
Yeah.
Who are these women who are attracted to these people behind bars?
Seriously. Dude's not even good looking. I guess he was like a model or something like that. I'd be like, okay, well, I guess he's good looking. It's a goofy looking guy. A goofy, tall, murderous person.
A goofy, tall looking, murderous person.
Yes.
What is prison life like, especially in a women's prison?
Yeah.
But let's talk to Joseph Carlone, former corrections captain, 25 years. Thank you for what you've done for us.
It's beyond the women's prison. I mean, I've seen in a men's prison where, you know, guys get married just to women and they're always coming in and dumping money on them and putting it into their commissary. It's just, it's amazing the gift of gab. I mean, you got to remember, whether it's a guy or a girl, they're in prison, and a lot of them have that slick tongue where they could talk you out of your whole household, and it's just amazing the talent that they have.
So you saw that while you were a prison guard. Where were you a prison guard?
I started at Harvard, went to Bridgeport, and then ended up in Cheshire, and it was just amazing to see. And I remember guys getting married in the prison, and you know, getting money. It was just countless things.
The people that they got married to, like, did they know them before then, or would
these women
were like stalkers? They would read about them. They were kind of famous, and then they would like write letters to them or whatever.
Famous, not famous. They would just start communicating with someone, and you know, and they just worked their magic. And it was just, I remember when I was at Cheshire, this female kept coming in almost every day, and you know, they knew each other. They didn't know each other beforehand, and they just every day she was coming in and dumping money into his commissary. And you know, I don't know what ended up happening at the end when he got out, but most of the time when they get out, they just move on, and it's just.
Wow, can you imagine that?
Seriously.
Being there for the dude the whole time, dumping money in, coming in and visiting, sex visits. Then the guy gets out. It's like, yeah, see ya.
Yep. Fun.
It's just amazing. It, you know, again, I had a guy that made a clock out of a fan motor and peanut butter and jelly covers. He crafted it with rubber bands, and the thing was only off like 5 minutes in 24 hours. They're just talented and amazing, and they just
wait. He made a clock out of what?
Yep. A fan motor. They're able to buy peanut butter and jelly, and he made it and geared it up so the fan ran it, but like the different size covers with rubber bands, and he made a clock.
Did he sing it's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time?
Yeah, pretty much so.
Wow.
But it's talented. You guys got to remember.
They got time on their hands.
I was amazed.
Yeah.
The amount of artists that I saw that were in there and what they created, it was just amazing. And it was like, wow, your talent is getting totally wasted.
Wow, you'd see people who are meant to clearly do other things. Like that guy who made the clock, he was clearly
an engineer.
Should have been discovered early as an engineer.
Yeah.
The painters that we had in there, or the drawings, and we had guys that could tattoo, and you know, you're not supposed to get tattoos in the prison, but they would do tattoos, and you were just amazed. I had this one individual that could make a tattoo gun in a matter of minutes with the old cassette tape players and, you know, pens, and it was just, you were just amazed at what they did. And, you know, still to this day, I've been retired almost 9 years now, and you still talk about the stories, and you're still flabbergasted at, like, wow, what they did.
Yeah.
I guess every, you know, now and then you're going to get a guy who could talk a woman out of anything from behind bars.
Right. But if you're a nice guy, forget about it.
Can you imagine that? No, that's the thing. You could be in a bar and just still not be able to have that.
Right. But boy, you murder someone, you're in prison, boy.
That magic where you can just talk to someone, and the next thing you know, you know, you're home.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I saw, you also saw the high profile cases that people were writing to these individuals because they were just mesmerized by them. And then one thing leads to another, and they're visiting, and then, you know, they're trying to get married. It's just like, I don't know.
That's the thing with him. He had a very high profile case. So he had women probably from all over the world writing him.
Yeah, of course.
There's definitely something wrong with those women, right? Like, there's something missing in their lives.
I'm thinking.
If you see a murderer.
The person you obviously stay away from, especially the person who's murdering women.
Yeah.
And you're like, I want to be with him.
Right.
Gee.
What are you writing that letter? Like, I know you didn't do it.
Right. I know you're innocent. Yeah. I can see in your eyes.
I've always seen those women, you know, because you're sitting there, you see them coming in, low self-esteem, maybe not, you know, the most attractive, these guys or these gals are telling those guys that what they want to hear, you know, and it's just, it's honestly amazing that that happens.
What was that special on Netflix? It was the guy who was, he was dating all these women and taking their money.
The Tinder Swindler.
Tinder Swindler.
Yes.
Tinder Swindler.
Yeah, it's a catchy
name. He was a guy who had that, he would get these
girls,
he'd get them on the hook, they would think he's rich.
Yeah.
I had a guy when I was at Harford Correctional Center, pudgy, short little guy, kept telling women he played sports, whether it was hockey or baseball, and they were giving him tons of money. He finally got arrested for it. But I'm like, you looked at him, and you knew he had not 1 ounce of athletic ability.
But
the women were falling for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even curling.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Amazing.
There's so many stories. We always say this, you know, there's so many stories people want to believe us of all the craziness that has happened over the years.
All right, Joe, we're going to ask you to get like 4 or 5 of those stories together, and then we'll have you on next week.
Yeah, man.
I'll definitely do it.
All right.
Joseph Carlone, former correctional captain. Thank you, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.